There we go. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God is a God of the heart. He's a God of the inward man. He looks at men's hearts. For those that would trust him, hope upon him, believe him and follow him. But if we're honest this morning, none of us could stand before God and say to him, I have a perfect heart. In fact, the scripture tells us that the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Who can know it? You and I, we all fall short of the glory of God. We are all here this morning, sinners saved by grace. We were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. From the sole of our foot to the top of our head, we were spiritually rotten, corrupted. And in Genesis 6 and verse 5, it says there, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's not a very good indictment on man, that, is it? Every thought, every desire of the heart, it says, was only evil continually, it tells us in the scriptures. Our minds and our hearts were rotten. Our intentions, our motives were corrupted. Sinful, wicked, impure, evil, selfish, self-serving, prideful, arrogant, rude, wicked. We were sinners. And the only thing that could save us from this sorrowful, pitiful spiritual state and disease that we were born riddled with was the mercy and the grace of God through the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary's cross. And he alone was able, by his grace, to be our atonement. You know, the righteousness that you and I are clothed with, it's not our own righteousness, is it? It's his righteousness. The righteousness that comes through him. Philippians 3 and 9 says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Righteousness that is bestowed upon us. Don't think this morning that your righteousness can ever be good enough, or that our attempts at righteousness can ever hit the mark. You know, you can do everything perfectly in your life, outwardly, but that does not make you righteous, because your heart itself, as we've already heard, is sinful. We need a righteousness beyond our righteousness if we're going to please God. Jesus said he is the way, the truth and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. There's no other way. There's no other method. There's no set of rules or laws or regulations that can make us righteous. If righteousness could have come through following the law, then Christ died in vain. The way is only through Christ, only through his blood, only through the atonement of Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. We cannot add anything to that. We can't add our own righteousness. We can't somehow bolt it on to his righteousness. Our hearts were contaminated with a spiritual disease. And even now, you and I, saved, still have a sinful nature, don't we? That fights against us. The only difference is that now we're covered in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God. Just like Israel, when they were in Egypt, they had to paint the doorposts of their houses with the blood of the Lamb. And you and I in Christ, we're covered by the blood of the Lamb, the spotless, undefiled blood of the Lamb of God. And when the angel of death passes over, if we've got that blood of the Lamb on the lintels of our heart, then we will be saved. Not because there's anything good that we have done, not because we're so wonderful this morning, or so great, or so pure, or so sincere, but because of the blood of Christ, because he lived a perfect life, and yet he paid for our sins in full by himself, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So when God looks upon us who are covered in that precious blood, he sees the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are clothed in his garments of righteousness, pure and spotless garments. Our own garments, or even our own religious attempts at creating those garments, are as filthy rags. That's the best our righteousness can be. Our righteousness, it tells us, is as filthy rags. You know, when you consider the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus was speaking to the religious men of his day, the Pharisees and the scribes. They thought that because they were outwardly righteous, that they were outwardly obeying the word of God, that meant that they were fulfilling God's righteous requirements, that they were right in the sight of God because of it, because they didn't go about outwardly committing adultery or go about murdering people. They thought, therefore, they were good and acceptable in the sight of God. And to paraphrase it, Jesus said, "Well, actually, you say you shouldn't commit adultery, but I say to you that even if you so much as look upon a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You say you shouldn't murder, but I say that even if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you've already murdered him in your heart." In other words, God's standard, he's saying, is far beyond our standard of righteousness. He showed them that it's impossible to be as righteous to God's perfect standard through outward religion, that fulfilling God's righteous requirements isn't possible in our own ability. If it was possible for us to fulfill those righteous requirements, we wouldn't need a saviour, would we? We wouldn't need a Messiah. We wouldn't need an atonement. We wouldn't need a covering of the blood of Christ. We wouldn't need the garments of his righteousness, because we could do it ourselves through determination, effort and ability. But what Jesus is pointing out here is that actually proves that your heart isn't righteous. Nothing of yourself can change that. This is why we had to be born again, by the Spirit of God. It's why we had to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. It's why we needed the blood, because our righteousness was as filthy rags. And there's a lot of Christians who get on a treadmill of legalism and religion, trying to be perfect through self-imposed rules and self-effort religion. And the minute they slip up, as they surely will, and as you and I surely will, they think they've committed the unforgivable sin. Now, this morning, I am not excusing sin. Just because you're a sinner saved by grace does not give you a license to go out willfully sinning. Salvation is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to do what you want. Actually, on the contrary, we've been saved to be free from sin. We've been saved to be delivered from unrighteousness. We've been saved to live a holy and godly life in Christ. But nor does that give you the right to go around thinking that you've somehow achieved some level of perfection through your own efforts. It just means that you're acknowledging daily that you need God's mercy, God's grace, God's forgiveness, God's covering, his blood every day. You need to acknowledge every day that you fall far short of the glory of God, that you're allowing the Spirit of God to change you. But you understand that you still fall short of God's glory. You still need his grace to cover you. That your own righteousness doesn't meet the mark, no matter how hard you can try. You need his righteous garments to clothe you so that you won't be found naked. In truth, we're already declared righteous through Christ. We're now in a process, aren't we, of sanctification. That's allowing the Spirit of God to work in us and through us, and to transform us day by day. And through his Spirit, we can avoid fulfilling those evil desires in our hearts. Through his Spirit, we can say no to the flesh. Through his Spirit, we can crucify that flesh daily. You know, the flesh is always going to be there. We have to just keep putting it to death. We have to keep living in the Spirit. We have to keep allowing God to change us. But never lose sight of the fact that without that covering, you won't obtain his righteousness. Without the righteousness of Christ, we'll always fall short, won't we? In fact, the only time we're going to be perfected is when we put our foot on the footplate of heaven. And in the Bible, it speaks about just men being made perfect. Hebrews 12:22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." You see, this perfection happens when you go from this life to the next. We are being perfected, but we ain't there yet, are we?
No.
But that the good news this morning is that sinful body, that carnal nature, isn't coming with us into heaven. Because we're going to have a new body that's not sinful, a perfected body. No more carnal nature, no more temptation, no more fleshly desires opposing us. You know, we've already got a new heart and mind this morning, haven't we, in Christ? But that doesn't mean that the old nature is not still there in your flesh. You know, we now have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, thank God. He gives us the power that we need to say no to sin. But as Alan pointed out last week, there's going to be times when we lose the round in the fight, isn't there? There's going to be times when we fall or when we fail. But when you do, we don't need to go into a spiral of hopeless condemnation, because a lost round isn't the complete fight. And if we turn back to God and we ask him to restore us, to forgive us and cover us, you know, we can be forgiven and brought back to where we need to be. Because that's what being a Christian is, isn't it? It's being a man and woman or woman living in the covering of the blood of Jesus, living in the covering of the righteousness of Christ daily. Don't be like the lukewarm church who think, "I am rich and have need of nothing." But recognise that of yourself, you're poor, miserable, blind and naked, and you need the garments of his righteousness that can only come from him. Now, God is a God of the heart. He sees the heart. He knows every thought. He knows every intention, every desire of our heart. He knows every lie in us, every hypocrisy. Is there anybody here this morning who can put their hands up and say that they've got no hypocrisy within them? Are you always true to your heart? Have you never had any double standards? I think we'd be a liar to say so. And in fact, in 1 John 1:8-10, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." So he who says he has no sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. There's that doctrine of perfection that comes around now and again, but the truth is we are being perfected, but we ain't there yet. You know, the Christian life should be one of continual repentance, continual humbling and contrition of ourselves before God, that he might have mercy on us, that he might forgive us and work in us and through us. We have a mercy seat that we can approach, don't we? You know, in the Old Testament, they had the mercy seat. We have a mercy seat in Christ. He's our great high priest. He ever intercedes for us. It tells us he's able to sympathise with us in our weakness. We can approach the throne of grace. Do you approach the throne of grace? Do you ask God to have mercy on you? So why do we give in to condemnation and hopelessness and despair? Because they're just the enemies of faith. The Bible tells us that the mercy of God endures forever. That he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said he's the great physician. The physician didn't come for the well, but for the sick. We need that great physician in our spiritual life every day. We need the healing and the forgiveness of God every day. And when we fall, we need to get back up. We need to approach his throne of grace daily. to kneel before that mercy seat of Christ and say, forgive us, Lord. We need the cleansing of the blood of Jesus daily. And it says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some of our unrighteousness. No, all our unrighteousness. All of it. He washes away all our sin. Have mercy upon us, O God, should be our daily cry. You know, our hearts are fickle, aren't they? Our hearts are temperamental. We still have that old nature constantly plaguing us. We have to fight it daily. We have to battle with it daily. We're called to deny ourselves daily. And not just outwardly deny ourselves, but inwardly deny ourselves. When those thoughts of temptation come, as they will and they do, you know, and it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when we begin to entertain and act upon those temptations and continue in them and allow them to form a habit or a character in us. But we have to fight the flesh daily, don't we? We have to battle sin daily. We have to fight evil thoughts daily. You know, you're going to get evil thoughts as a Christian. We shouldn't be surprised by that. In fact, the closer you get to the light, the more it exposes the darkness that you didn't know was there. The sinful thoughts go against the new nature that's in us, don't they? The nature that God has implanted in us through Christ. You and I, we are called partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature can't dwell with the sinful nature. We'd either serve one or the other. So when we get tempted and we're aware of that sinful nature battling against us, that's where we need to call upon the Lord and ask him to help us, to strengthen us, to have mercy on us, to cleanse us, to deliver us from temptation. You know, God is merciful to sinners who are willing to let go of sin. The problem is when we don't want to let go. See, we're in a spiritual battle this morning, an unseen battle. It's a battle that's in the mind and the heart. And in the book of Ephesians and 6, it tells us about the whole armour of God. It says, put on the full armour of God, that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. We're going to get hit. We're going to get hit with evil thoughts and temptations. Satan will fire fiery arrows and darts at us into our hearts in the hope that he can inflame our lusts and our sinful desires and passions and get us to turn back to our old life. But we have to battle against it. We've been given by God spiritual armour. The helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Loins girt with the truth, a breastplate of righteousness, and feet shod with the gospel of peace. Things that will save us and protect us from the enemy's attacks. Truth and faith and putting on the helmet of salvation. What does that mean? It means we have a saved mind. We recognise we've got our place in God through Christ and that salvation is in him. And that he will keep us if we'll just look to him. And that no matter what Satan throws at us, we can resort to Christ. His desire this morning is to save us. Salvation is the protection for our minds and hearts when under attack. God is able to save us from sin. In the book of Romans in chapter 7, Paul spoke about the inward battle between the flesh and the spirit. He said that the things he didn't want to do, he finally ended up doing, and the things that he did want to do, he didn't do. And he said he found a law of sin and death working within his own members, within his own body. He's got this contradiction between his flesh that's wanting to go one way and his spiritual mind that wants to go in a different way. And he concludes, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death?" And he says, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ." You know, you and I, we are wretched men at best. And only Jesus Christ can deliver us from the body of this sin and death and decay. And the spirit versus the flesh is part of that daily battle, isn't it? In the Bible it says that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And it says if we'll walk in the spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the victory is already there, isn't it, in Christ. If we do fall, if we do stumble, if we do fail, the answer is not to quit or to give up or to just fall into condemnation. It's to repent, to renounce our sin and turn back to God, to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. You know, God will not despise a contrite heart, it says in Scripture. He's able to cleanse all unrighteousness. He cleanses us daily, every minute, every day. We need his cleansing. We need the righteousness of God. We need the mercy of God and the grace of God so that we can walk in the Spirit, it says, and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God has given us a new heart and mind so that we can think good thoughts, pure thoughts, righteous thoughts, so that we can dwell on those things that are lovely, those things that are pure, as it tells us, that we can take delight in righteousness, take delight in justice, so that we can exercise discernment between good and evil, between right and wrong, between truth and error. And he's also given us the power to say no to sin. He's able to deliver us from sin and from its addiction and from its bondage. Because sin does bring people into bondage. People get caught up in sin and it becomes an enslavement. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." It's a slavery. It owns you like a person owns a slave. You're under its dominion. Sin entraps you. You become imprisoned by it, in bondage to it. John 8:36 says, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Through Christ, we can be free from sin. That's the good news. We no longer have to live as slaves to sin. We can say no to the sinful nature. We can say no to evil and to evil desires. And we can have our hearts transformed, our minds renewed through his divine nature working in us. Yes. But don't ever kid yourself into thinking that somehow you've reached perfection or attained some level of perfection. "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall," it says, it warns us. The minute we think that, we've already fallen, haven't we? Through our pride. Paul said, "I've not already attained, but I press on." Amen. You know, we are fallen creatures. We are born in sin, as we said, shaping iniquity. Even in our mother's wombs, we were corrupted. But God's given us a new heart and mind so that we can live righteously. And in Christ, we're already righteous. We're already justified in him. But we're now being sanctified. We're now being made righteous. We're being purified. We're being purged from the dross of the old man and the old life that has to be continually denied and put to death. Pick up your cross daily, it tells us in Scripture. Deny yourself daily. Walk in the Spirit daily. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day. It's a daily walk, isn't it? It's a daily battle. It's a daily struggle against the flesh. We're in a war every day, not just some days. We're in a war every day. The flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And it says the two are contrary to each other so that you cannot do the things that you would. We have to fight against the flesh. The flesh wants to pull us away from God. The flesh wants us to go back to the old life. The flesh wants us to bow down to sin and to serve the enemy. But the new life in us bows down to Christ. The new life rejects the old life. The new life turns away from sin. The new life crucifies the old sinful nature. And that's through the Spirit of God. In us, he gives us the power we need to walk in his God's presence. The power we need to live holy, to live righteously, to live godly, to do what's right. But if we don't walk daily, if we don't feed our spirit daily by standing in God's presence and praying continually, or by seeking God daily, or by walking in the Spirit daily, or putting on the armour daily, and if we don't put on the armour, what's going to happen? When temptation comes, we're going to fall. We're going to become weak and give in because our natural disposition is to the flesh. "Watch and pray," Jesus told his disciples, "lest you fall into temptation." If we don't put on the armour daily, we're not going to be able to give in to sin. We're not going to be able to, if we don't put it on, we are going to give in to sin when it comes our way. When the temptation comes to give in to the flesh, because we've not been putting that armour on. We've not been fighting. We've not been spending time in the presence of God. We've neglected the most important thing. We've not been putting up the shield of faith. And then we wonder why we fall, why we fail, why we're weak. Scripture says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because our strength is in him, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not in ourselves, is it? Paul said he rejoiced in his weaknesses. Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It's his strength that we walk in. It's his grace that we rely upon. But we have to walk in the Spirit daily. We have to, as Jesus said in John 15, we have to remain in him. We have to abide in him. If we don't abide in him, we wither and die on the vine. We need the fresh supply of his Spirit daily. The fresh supply of the oil of this Holy Spirit daily. Otherwise, we become like the foolish virgins with no oil in the lamp. We need to keep our lamps topped up, don't we, daily? It's often been said that we're leaky vessels, and it's true. If we don't keep topped up with oil, guess what? That light's eventually going to go out. You're going to fail, you're going to fall, you're going to go back to the old life, back to the flesh. Put on the new man, it tells us. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, we're in a battle, aren't we? And it's a continual battle, hard battle at times, sometimes an intense battle. Sometimes we get a period where everything's going well and smooth, but that can be dangerous too, can't it? We have to be always on our guard, whether we're in season or out of season, as the Bible puts it, on our guard. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Let the Spirit of God form our thoughts and intentions. Let God rule, as we were singing this morning, reign in me. Let God rule and reign in our heart and not in the flesh. Spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Setting our hearts on things above, not on the things of this earth. In closing, Romans 13 and verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Amen. Let's pray.